No birth is as celebrated and no birth is as contested. Now, here is one explanation advanced. Mary invented the story to deceive Joseph, and Joseph and Mary together deceived the world in order to present a false Messiah. How did Mary know whether her offspring would be a girl or a boy? Well, the angel told her, "Fear not, Mary, thou shalt bring forth a son." Her sincerity is in her reply. "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Hundreds of years before the birthplace had been designated Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph were at Nazareth. Did Mary make any attempt to go to Bethlehem that she might fulfill Micah's prophecy? No. God intervened. The Roman emperor passed a decree. He decreed a tax program. It was this event that brought Mary to Bethlehem. There is no duplicity on her part. Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, was pregnant. Mary visited her at Hebron. In a miraculous way, this preacher's wife confirmed Mary's condition. Elizabeth had no way of knowing what the angel had spoken to Mary. All the records emphasize the supernatural act. His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, and she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The phrase is meticulously repeated. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Arise, take the young child and his mother by night. Then Simeon took the little baby in his arms and said unto Mary, his mother. And Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Now they stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. The distinction is always there. Eve bears the title of the mother of all living. Mary is the mother of the life giver. Eve's first child was a murderer. Mary's first child was a savior. Christ's deity does not come from his mother. Mary is never called the mother of God. She is blessed above women. She was an espoused wife and had a real love affair. She sacrificed everything for this high place of honor. It cost her an earthly reputation, and had not God interfered, Joseph intended to put her away. Another explanation advanced is the Hebrew word for virgin, Alma, can also refer to a woman of marriageable age. Isaiah says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son." God knew 730 years before Jesus was born the very woman he was to choose. God directs special attention to this through Isaiah by using the term, behold. If he had said, "Behold, a married woman shall conceive and bear a son," infidels would have laughed the believer to scorn. The word behold occurs 200 times in the New Testament, and it always announces what is striking and surprising. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did shake and the rocks did rend. Behold, I show you a great mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. These are examples. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. God gave the rainbow to us for a sign. It is a sign to all flesh that he will never send another flood upon the earth. It is God's infallible promise. King Hezekiah of Judah refused to die. And when God promised 15 more years, Hezekiah asked for a sign. The shadow on the sundial moved forward 15 degrees. Like Gideon, Hezekiah asked for the reverse, the thing he thought more difficult, and the shadow on the dial turned back 15 degrees. God granted the sign. Now, God is involved, sir. No one can make a rainbow. No one can alter the planetary system. This same word, virgin, is used regarding Rebecca. Let it come to pass that the maiden, Alma, that cometh to draw water, let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed for my master's son. You think that God would have chosen an immoral woman for Isaac? This virgin espoused to Isaac was to be a type of the bride of Christ, and she must be a virgin. There's an interesting application in Psalm 68:25. The singers went before the minstrels, following after in the midst of the damsels with timbrels. The word Alma, virgin, is in the plural, Alma. In the bridal procession, single women participated, and these damsels, or virgins, are in the procession of the Messiah when he enters the sanctuary. It is certain that they are not harlots. God's laws were strict concerning adultery. A damsel betrothed to a man was stoned to death if she was untrue. In order for Jesus to escape the curse and judgment which fell upon Jeconiah, he must come through the woman's seed. Matthew and Luke examine the genealogy, both, of course, through David, one through Solomon, the other through Nathan. Now, Paul calls Jesus the seed of David because he came through Nathan, who was the second son of David. This word seed is always used of the father and never of the mother, with only one exception. The seed of the woman, not of man, shall bruise the serpent's head. The virgin birth of Jesus is the very heart of God, and salvation rests upon it. Another explanation, Vance, is Jesus is called the Son of Man 85 times. Now, Jesus is given many titles, sir. The Son of God, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David. Christ, being made of a woman, would naturally be called the Son of Man. Else he would not have been a human being. This was his racial name. Jesus identified himself with our race. He did not take upon himself an angelic form. If he had been an angel, human beings would not have understood him. Christ identifies himself as our blood brother. Another explanation advanced is that it doesn't make any difference whether he was virgin-born or not. Jesus could have been God's son by natural propagation. Now, does it make any difference whether a railroad bridge is made of tin or steel? Does it make any difference to the bride whether she's given a glass imitation by her lover or a genuine diamond? Oh, yes, it does. For one to take away sin, he must be sinless. For one to redeem the Adamic race, he must not have Adamic blood. If Jesus had a human father, then the Bible is not true. He had no pre-existence. He inherited a sinful nature. A sinless body was necessary, the perfect sacrifice. There is no room, mister, for compromise. If Jesus had a human father, he was an imposter and not the Son of God. If Jesus had a human father, then we have no assurance of immortality. Another explanation advanced is that the virgin birth is unscientific and there is nothing analogous to it in the organic world. Christianity is based on the supernatural, not on the natural, mister. God brought forth the first man, Adam, into the world without a mother. God brought the first woman, Eve, into the world without a father or a mother. God brought the first boy, Cain, with a father and with a mother. And God brought Jesus into the world without a human father, but with a human mother. And if God is so pleased to do so, he can raise up children from the stones and cause them to praise him. God is not limited in the power of creation, Mr. Scientist. If God knew only one way to bring life into the world, then we would have the record of it. If God brought the first man into the world without a mother, then he could easily bring the second man into the world without a father. Another explanation advanced is that Paul does not mention the virgin birth. Well, Paul and Luke were fellow companions. Luke must have shared with Paul, and Luke, a qualified medical doctor, documented the birth of Jesus, and Paul believed it. He tells the European, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself and became in the form of a slave. Paul states it plainly, first being in what? The form of God, then becoming in the form of man. Paul believed the incarnation. Another explanation advanced is that Mary publicly acknowledged that Joseph was Christ's father. I and thy father have sought thee sorrowing. Listen to the reply. Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Jesus reminds Mary who his father is. And finally, there is this explanation advanced. The virgin birth is traditional. The unbeliever reminds us that there have been many, many so-called virgin births. This is how the ancient world was accustomed to account for unusual superiority, like Buddha or Zoroaster. Both of these were supernaturally born. And when a personality rose so high that men adored that personality, the ancient world attributed his superiority to some special divine influence in his generation, and so they commonly phrased their faith in terms of miraculous birth. Now, mister, the very fact that there are counterfeit $10 bills in circulation is a strong proof that there is a genuine $10 bill. There must be an original. These pagan religions represent God coming down to earth and consorting with humankind. It's worse than mythology. It's revolting. It's ridiculous. An angelic fornication is not the virgin birth. It was at least 200 or 300 years after Buddha had died that any such claims of a virgin birth were made for Buddha. The Gospels published this claim for Jesus within 35 years of his birth. Now, men did not wait, nor did angels, until his personality rose high before they adored him. They worshipped him while he was yet a babe lying in the manger. On that very night that he was born, the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest." And a bit later, the wise men who came from the east, directed unerringly, placed expensive gifts before him and worshipped him. Now, you can't say that about Buddha. Or Zoroaster, mister, if Jesus left this planet by a supernatural resurrection and ascension and made his exit out of this world in a miraculous manner, then we logically conclude he must have entered the world by a supernatural advent. And I believe it, mister, and all the evidence is in. And this is why I can genuinely wish you a Merry Christmas. Our coming does not weary our Heavenly Father. Our relationship is that of parent and child, provider and dependent. We expect it from. That's what counts. So let's head toward the long altar and make sense. Angelian Anderson met with us there at Toledo, Ohio. Then I sent her my book, Living the Overcoming Life, and for the first time in her Christian life, she walked in this. And she testified, "I had been wading in the swamp of fears and giving lip service. I asked and I never anticipated, and then the Holy Spirit led me over on the sunshine. It's altogether different. I feel strong." Now, Mary Lee Tennant finds the long altar reaching her at West Jordan, Utah. And she adds a big thank you for the printed copies of the sermons she has received in that out-of-the-way place. And she has knelt at the long altar, and a heaven-born compassion for our Indian citizens in that state of Utah has seized her soul. And she's determined to do something about that. Thus, the Spirit of God is working among us both. It's so precious. Never, never like playing church. Let's got our faces toward heaven. Jesus of Nazareth, our only begotten Son of God, thou art all powerful. It is thy authority that forgives sin and gives cleansing. And there's no other name whereby we can be saved. And so I ask for the release of those held prisoner by transgression. Speak the word. Let some praying wife in this audience have her husband released from liquor and stretch forth thine hand to deliver evangelist Robert Fierro from cancer. Thy blood-bought victory to deliver. And I pray for Assemblies of God missionaries in Malaysia. Use them in mighty revival. I pray for our women pastors that they may receive words of encouragement this week. I pray for hundreds of our laymen who drive our church buses, protect them every mile. Lord, we would walk with thee in humbleness of mind and spirit. Teach us thy way, And may the government, our government, make right decisions. Amen. Victor of Calvary is present. And he chooses to be made known by ministering as none of us can. We're members of the body and therefore sensitive to his will. And there is among us at this moment a man who has been conscious for days now that Jesus wants him to commit himself to an act of faith. The church which he and his family attend is crowded and needs to expand immediately. The building costs are frightening, so the board of the church has it. Now, God wants this businessman to lead the way and use his influence and experience to lead the board to a building loan and set the example and spread confidence to your congregation, and God will bless you in your business and more than pay you back, sir, if you will act promptly. I know God is speaking to me to you. This is the meeting. Each time the Holy Spirit gathers us, not by money or promotion or by talent, but by the Spirit of God, His moving is our operation, and we depend upon Him completely. An amazing thing will happen instantly. The dead in Jesus shall rise, and every cemetery on earth will be disturbed. And what happens next is quicker than instant replay. The believer must be ready. There's no choice. So agree with me that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.
You have just heard Evangelist C.M. Ward in a message called Eight Attempts to Discredit the Birth of Jesus. The virgin birth is one of the great miracles of God. The new life he gives to believers is another. You can experience a miraculous birth in your life. Why not receive Jesus as Lord and Savior right now? We hope you've been blessed by this gospel broadcast cassette. May I remind you that the Revival Time Cassette Ministry is made possible through the free will offerings of those hearing or sharing the cassette. God bless you for your part in this ministry. An extensive printed ministry of Revival Time includes copies of C.M. Ward's messages and books written on a wide variety of pertinent subjects. A list of these items will be sent on request. Thank you.